Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of 9NG Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay at the Thrive Coworking Community. And we just finished our Monday morning coffee, which you should join us for every Monday morning here at 8:30. With us today in the studio, we have Chelsea Boyd. Chelsea, welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Thank you. My name's Chelsea. I am a real estate agent here in Lindsay. I've been doing real estate for about 2 years now, and I'm in a partnership with my mom, Patricia. So we work out of Royal LePage, Kawartha Lakes, and we go under Boyd Real Estate Team. So yeah, I've been doing it for about 2 years, and she's been doing it for about 11, I think.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
How much money have you made? She was nervous. I wanted to say something that, like, near about.
I'm doing okay. It's good. It's good, for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. You deserve to be successful in real estate.
Well, 2022 was a lot for real estate. Like, everyone wanted to move. Everyone was, I don't know if it was like a keeping up with the Joneses kind of, but everyone was buying and selling. So it was a really busy first year.
Was it the first 6 months or like the whole year?
I would say the first 6 months was very overwhelming. Mm. And then there was a little bit of a break, but the fall was pretty busy again.
Has it gotten back to normal now?
Like, inventory is still extremely low. Mm. So I would say it's picking up again. Like, last week we did, I've done more purchases, so helping buyers, than like listings lately, which is okay. I like, so.
That's awesome good. That you like that. We'll talk about that for
a minute.
Because, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on and talk about real estate is, like, I'm not a real estate bro, and I don't, like, follow as closely as some, but years and years in banking, I've done a lot of mortgages and watched sort of the market a lot, and I've seen lots of agents come and go. And I think you're doing it right, and I think you're a good fit, which we'll talk about more. But I like that you like working with buyers, because what I find with so many agents is they, like, as soon as they can sort of give a big F you to buyers, they're like, I just want to sit back and I want, you know, to sell listings and, you know, just kick back and, you know, collect a check and not really have to work hard. And I don't think that's good for the long run. So I just love that you like working with buyers. So.
Yeah. I just find I like working with sellers. Like, don't get me wrong, but I find buyers is, for some reason, a little more fulfilling. And I don't know if it's because I'm still so new, in a sense, sort of. Like, helping, like, a first-time home buyer, like, when you let them know, like, hey, you got the house. Like, it is awesome. Like, it's such a good feeling. Like, of course, selling someone's house is great, too. But I don't know. It's just something about working with buyers that's a little less intimidating as well, I find. So,
yeah, I think it's such a personal process for people. And the, you know, we were talking at the morning coffee about, you know, before we started recording, you know, the real estate industry sort of quotes, and there's some of the bad actors or people who give it a bad taste.
Yeah.
And it's a classic example of people see real estate agents, you know, they don't like or hear of dirty tricks, but then everyone who's had a good experience has the agent that they love because somebody helped them make a good decision in purchasing a house or selling their house and made them feel good about it along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of you and your brand that's very authentic. And you saying things like that fulfilling kind of proves that, which I think is really good versus it being, you know, a transaction and you're kind of like, oh, I'm a deal maker and hey, your deal's done. See you later. Like,
it's definitely not it. Like, we definitely try to, you know, even before you're ready to buy a house, like, we say, reach out to us as soon as you're even considering it. Cause even if it's like a year away, like, it is a process for a lot of people. Like, I've had some people where I show them one house and they buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's the house for them. So that's perfect. But sometimes you're showing people like 20 houses and it can get a little tiring, but once you get that accepted offer, it's the most amazing feeling. And then helping them afterwards is so nice too. Like, that's why I'm happy I moved back to this area, because, you know, I grew up here and you know people and you can refer, like, hey, you know, you have a buyer who just bought a house and it needs some work. Like, I know a contractor who I actually know, like, and trust to refer you to them. And so having an agent who has connections is really important, honestly. Like, you don't just want to leave people to hang after you help them buy this house that needs a bunch of work and you're just like, bye. Right.
That is interesting, because I've been thinking a lot lately when I hear advertisements and marketing and people are like, I grew up here, I've lived here for so long. And I always think that's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care when people have lived here forever. Now you've put a good perspective on it, though, because like, that actually makes a lot of sense.
It's really interesting in, I think, real estate. And I, you know, when I have a very short list of, if people phone me and are like, hey, I'm going to like, I want a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. Who do you recommend?
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea's on that list. I don't know if any of the people have ever actually called you, but, you know, you're one of them. And there's a few who, depending on their personality, I'm like, oh, I think you're a good fit, or like what they're looking for. And sometimes the local knowledge, especially there's certain sort of maybe danger zones, I would say, of like, oh, be careful if you buy a house here because of rules or water or different things. And there's lots of stories of people who come from a, you know, they move from away and they have an agent from Toronto who helps them buy it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, surprise, your house is going to flood every spring. And that's just the thing that's always going to happen. And they're like so upset about it. And it's like, well, the right agent would have told you that that's going to happen and help set those expectations.
Yeah. And like, I even had friends in like who live like Kingston area or even further who've asked me like, hey, do you want to help us buy? And I've kind of said like, I can, if you really, really want me to, but I would also be happy to refer you to somebody there. And it's not because of the driving. Like, I can drive forever. Like, that's all good, but it's just about having that local knowledge and just feeling comfortable helping somebody spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a house. It's like, I don't want to be anything keeping me up at night. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think knowing the area, knowing people in the area is really important, to be honest. So
maybe you've converted me in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, the right answer is always, it depends.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's nice to work with people who at least know their boundaries and limits. So things like that is helpful, or you at least give the disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that makes you all the better of a guide because you're also the type who would go and actually learn those things.
Yeah.
So that's who you want versus, you know, when I think of the people I don't ever refer to, it's the ones who are always moving, don't really do any sort of due diligence at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really going to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And some people like that. They want to move fast and, you know,
sometimes
close something and they just don't care.
Yeah.
Or they've done it so many times that nothing's really going to surprise them.
Yeah.
But I think with first-time buyers or second-time buyers, there's so many things that could just surprise you that you're not even aware of.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's why recently I've learned to now, when I'm helping people buy or sell, like, we have templated emails set up. So even if you know everything, you know, you're still going to get this email from us saying like, okay, so you put your first offer in on a house. Like, these are the next steps. These are going to be the things you're going to need. These are important dates, and just kind of like communicate until it hurts.
Yeah.
Right. So that's
that.
What, like, you know, some people know everything
because
they've bought and sold 100 times. So you literally just have to stick a line, like a sign on their lawn, and they're good. But then other people, it's like even explaining the difference between a deposit and a down payment is like, you have to really like kind of hold their hand, which is totally fine too.
And you like work with first time home buyers, you're saying, right?
I do, yeah.
What about them?
They're just so exciting to work with, I find, honestly. Like, I kind of like showing them the ropes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just excited to get out there. And they I find they do put a lot of trust in you.
Mm.
So it makes me feel, you know, like I'm doing my job correctly when, you know, we get them the house and I can kind of show them, like, this is the reason why you chose to work with me. Because, like, you're taken care of and you feel comfortable. Like, you're not questioning, like, oh, when's the home inspection? What's the home inspection? How much is this going to cost? And what happens after the home inspection and stuff like that? Like, I don't know. I like working with people who like working with me too.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think it's because not that you're new at this, but you're so fresh and green that you like that kind of hand-holding with people?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
I wonder if you'll ever get jaded.
Maybe.
Like 20 years.
Possibly. Probably.
That's a good bet.
Yeah.
Probably.
It'd be interesting to see, because I would say no, because I think you've been training for this for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have some, you know, I know I didn't teach you at Fleming, but I think when I started, you were a student there, and I kind of knew who you were, and you know, some of my colleagues spoke very highly of you when I was helping hire you for another position. So we've been colleagues as well. But you have an interesting background that I think primes you really well for working in real estate. So
100%.
Tell us a bit about that.
So yeah, I like right out of high school went to college to Fleming for paralegal.
Mm.
Because both my parents were in the legal field, kind of. My dad more so than my mom. So they kind of, like, honestly, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I wasn't that person that was like, I, you know, want to be a dentist or whatever people decide. Like,
yeah.
I was totally whatever. So I went to Fleming for paralegal, did that for a while, and then I sold cell phones at Bell for a while, which was fine. That kind of helped me dip my toe into sales a little bit, I would say, because I had no idea kind of what to expect with that or how to sell things. And then I got my job in London at 3M in legal affairs. So that kind of, I actually used my diploma at 3M, which was great. So, yeah, having that, like, legal knowledge with real estate is awesome.
I think that's something that maybe people don't understand and should understand more.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a power that you have that so many others don't. And I've watched it, like, being in more, like, at the bank and real estate agents sort of calling and being upset with, like, basic things that, like, I'm like, they should actually understand, like, what a mortgage is or what's the difference between a deposit and a down payment and, like, how the mechanics work. And then if things would go bad, they would always just blame the bank or blame the lawyer or, like, trying to explain to real estate agents, like, things that I think are basic, basic pieces of a real estate transaction that they don't understand. But you having that paralegal background and working in legal affairs for 3M is just great training for being able to be on the search or lookout and understand all of the
mechanics. Contracts and stuff like that. Like, it's important.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my only experience with legal. And then after that, I kind of decided it's a little too serious for me. So I was like, what am I going to do now? But I wanted to stay in London. So I worked for an engineering firm for a little while. And then I just missed this area so much.
Mm.
I was driving back here like every weekend. My friends are here. My family's here. So I gave like a month and a half notice at my job, I remember, because I felt so bad about leaving. Came back here, worked at a few restaurants, and then I went to school for marketing. So that's when I ran in, like, that's how I know people there, know Brian. So yeah, marketing was good too. And I thought that's what I wanted to do.
It kind of is what you're doing.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. It's,
I think, like, to me, marketing is one of those, a core fundamental skill that you can apply to so many things. So,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to be selling marketing
to
be in marketing.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, like, real estate now, like, you have to also be a marketer, like, if you're an agent, in a sense. Like, unless you have, you know, you've been doing this for 30 years and you already have all your clients kind of in your database. But if you're starting new, like, you have to be able to market yourself. Mm-hmm. It's really important. So I'm happy I did that. And then, yeah, one of my friends was taking her real estate license. And I thought that's something I've kind of seen my, like, pictured myself doing in the future, like when I'm like 40, maybe. But the education for it was changing. Mm-hmm. It was being, you know, it's going through Humber now. So I didn't really know what that was going to look like. So I decided I'm just going to jump in and go for it now. So as soon as I graduated marketing, I started my real estate license. So yeah, I've definitely had a lot of jobs that I've pulled these skills from, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think, and you worked for the Keg, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Keg is an interesting, it's not my personal favorite, but I like people who work there. There's a Keg system, there's hospitality, there's explaining things. So just the skill set of working there and, you know, serving in a professional manner combined with the legal, I think it sets you up perfectly for being a real estate agent. And what you describe, you know, working with buyers, being happy about it, is also just refreshing.
Yeah.
To see, and someone who didn't wait till they were, you know, older to jump in, because I think some people see being a real estate agent as like a side hustle versus someone who is building it, happy to work with buyers, start build that database of the 30 years worth of clients. Because I know you also love helping people find their second homes as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they get their first home and then, you know, 5 years later, they have kids and they're outgrowing their house, and now it's almost a bigger decision to now find the next house that's going to suit their family, which is rewarding for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That is something that, like, second, you know, mover uppers, upsizers, whatever you want to call them. I love working with them too, because I love working with young families, and I've experienced that a little bit in this last year. Like, I've had quite a few friends who decided to, you know, make the move from their first home to their second home. And it's definitely a little more of a complicated process because you're selling and buying. But I do love working with them too. Yeah.
It'd be more scary too, because the first time, you know, it's just exciting.
Yeah.
And you're going to buy a house and you don't know what you're looking for, or you think you know what you're looking for, and whatever. You just want to get out there. The second time, you kind of know what you want. And then I think more scary, because, like, we're pretty comfortable in our house now.
Mm-hmm.
Can we move? Yeah. We don't like our house, but we're pretty comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that we have to give up seems like too much of a risk in a new home.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, actually probably way too, like, way more scary than first time.
It definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's, yeah, because you're uprooting your whole life. Like, you're settled there.
Yeah.
And you, like you just said, like, you know what you want, you know what you don't want.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think when you're moving up, like, people are definitely a little more particular.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, people want to, especially with kids, like, you will maybe want to live in a certain school area or a certain school area you don't want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a bigger decision. And, you know, people, depending on the market, it's that question of, do I buy first or do I sell first? Or how do you, you know, manage these two big transactions that are about to happen? So there is, you know, some advising that has to go into that as well, which is fun, but it's definitely a little bit stressful.
Yeah.
It's definitely scary, and you need a person like you to help you through that scariness.
Yeah.
What's the biggest surprise that a buyer's sort of maybe had, that's something that is like a common thing that happens? but they get really surprised.
They get really surprised. I would say probably when they, maybe when you have like a financing condition or you're already pre-approved and you have like 7 days to complete your financing condition, and 7 days comes and maybe the bank or the mortgage broker isn't done yet, and they kind of freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
But in that case, like I do think that's, it's not extremely common, but it's happened a few times where we have to ask for an extension, which is usually totally fine. Like it's all good, but sometimes that can freak people out a lot when you're, you know, not everything's happening exactly as it should. And there are a lot of surprises in real estate all the time. But usually they can get figured out. Like it's not.
Yeah. There's usually a plan for those types of things.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember a thing, and I, when I bought my first house with my wife, we scared young kids, didn't really know a lot of the things. I knew the financing side because I was working at the bank, but I didn't know some of the in-between side. So I remember my biggest surprise was when the lawyer phoned and we had a massive propane tank that the previous buyer had like insisted on one that was like too big for the house just for whatever reason. And they were just like, oh, you need to drop us off a check for like $1,100 because you kind of pay for a full tank on your way in and leave it full on your way out. And I didn't understand or know that part of it. So it was like, at the time, like our whole down payment was like, back in the day, was $5,000. So that had to be like, plus a closing cost. And it's like, all right, you know, $1,100, please bring it over, was like a massive sort of panic stricken surprise.
And that's why it's so important to like set expectations. Yeah, that's like, why like that template email is so important to let people know, like, you know, especially if you're on propane, like that is a big deal. And, you know, you are going to have legal fees. Like you will need a lawyer, like things like that, that a lot of first time home buyers, they don't take into account because they just don't know. So,
I didn't know that. And my agent, you know, nice person, recommend them for a certain type of person, but like was kind of long gone by that point.
Sure,
it was like, oh, I didn't know any of these things, so it was a surprise.
Yeah, to your point, when you brought up the deposit, I didn't know anything about a deposit the first time I bought a house, and I don't remember how much it was. Maybe it wasn't a lot, but like you said, you're young. I was mid-20s, and I was like, I don't have this money. Or I think the realtor, someone says something, oh, and like, you got your deposit, right? And I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. And in my head, I'm like, what are you talking about? Because there's like that ego, you don't want to be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had no idea what she was talking
about.
Just like
quick pull Google.
And I was like, oh, great, we don't have this or whatever. And it was just, chaos. So.
Yeah, I remember a big one too was like paying your deposit or your down payment. And it was like, oh, bring like a bank draft.
Mm-hmm.
And people who sort of shed the bank for low fee, you know, like back in the day, it was like ING Direct or the one that was at PC, whatever it used to be called, but they'd have like no fee banking there. But if you want a bank draft from them, you need to like order it, and it's like a process. And they would be like, I have to take it to the lawyer right now. And like, that's another thing that, you know, people could be aware of. It's like, you know, you just get surprised by these things. And as a buyer, you're like just afraid that everything is going to wreck it.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know that. You haven't done it 100 times.
Yep.
To know that, oh, these are things that happen and here's the solution. So you need that person who is going to educate you and be there and feel like they're on your side.
Yeah. This is not a real estate realtor's fault, but I remember when we sold our first house and they gave me this check. It's a substantial check.
Okay.
And I was like, I didn't understand why. Now, in hindsight, it could just been direct deposit, which they do now.
Yes.
But I've got this big check, and I felt like I was going to lose it. It was going to blow out of my hand. I was, like, thinking, I'm going to get robbed. and I take it to the bank, and then they're like, oh, I don't know if we can deposit it. And I'm like, screw you guys, deposit my check. I'm a young person. I have a massive check in my hand. Take my money. What's the point of having bank accounts here? What's the point of having a check? Yeah. It's all signed off. I'm like, what do you mean you can't take it? It drove me nuts. It was all fine.
It was all fine at the end of the
day. It was fine, but like it was kind of like humming and hawing. And yeah. I'm like, what was the point of all these steps to get this check that was like stamped and signed by all these people? Drove me nuts. Anyways,
yeah, I think it's a way more smooth process.
Yes, last time we did something, it was like it was all just done.
Yeah,
it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Lawyers are like way behind on like adopting some of those like things, and yeah, some lawyers are still more old school. So it's like, yeah, you have to go pick up the check or run it back and forth.
Yeah.
And it used to be as if you were like a brand new lawyer. You might sit at the bank with a bunch of checks in your pocket and just wait for a phone call. Like,
imagine if he got robbed.
When to hand them around. Yeah, it's a lot of stress and a lot of boredom. Yeah, it's interesting how those mechanics work. And,
So,
tell us about what it's like working with your mom.
It's good. It's great. Yeah. No, I am so happy I made the decision to like join her, because I know when I first was getting my license, because it took me, because I was working full time still about 2 years, and the whole time she was kind of saying like, you don't have to join me if you don't want to, like you're free to go out on your own. Like, I don't want to put you in a box.
See
like,
you on the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, so she gave me the opportunity to do my own thing if that's what I wanted to do. But honestly, I love working with her. I love having a teammate. Like going into real estate, you know, you do, you know, six pretty big tests, but nothing really prepares you for real life, like working, you know. So having somebody that you don't feel kind of that you're asking like silly questions to or anything, even though like they're definitely silly questions. It helps. It helps feeling comfortable. You know, of course there's the odd time where like she wants to do something one way, I want to do something this way. And it's, you know, takes a little bit of a discussion to kind of come to terms of what we're going to do, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But honestly, like it's great. Like it's great having a mentor, and you know, one day she's going to retire and I'll be on my own. But for now, it's fantastic, for sure.
I've never thought about that either. This conversation is way more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would think, like, I'm thinking, okay, I'm done school. I start my own business as a marketer. You kind of not ease into it. You take a little project here. You take a slightly bigger project next time and you keep creeping your way up. In real estate, like, you're either selling a house or buying a house. And like, it's not like a small little like stepping stone. You're thrust right into that.
Yeah.
I never thought about it until right now. Like, that's scary.
It's like, hey, come list my house. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this
is,
yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. This is my first day. I don't know if I actually want to handle this $300,000 home 4 or 5 years ago. But,
yeah.
And then you get to the house and you don't know what they're going to ask you. No. Like water and this and that. And you can't really say it. You can, but you don't want to be like, this is my first day.
No, so. Yeah. You want
that's to, scary.
It is. And like, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's so nice having that person be like, just let me check with my partner on that.
Sure.
Or whatever. So no, she's been fantastic. Like, she's very patient and she's great. So it's good. And it's also so nice having a partner when, right now, for example, if I needed to do something or, you know, if someone needed to call me, like they can call her instead. So there's two of us. You know, she's on vacation, like I can handle everything. So we work well together in that sense.
I think that's really good from a customer standpoint.
Yeah.
And it's something I thought about because when we sold our house, I remember like, because I know so many real estate agents, it was like a tough decision of like, okay, who do I pick and who's going to be mad at me for not picking them? So like I narrowed down the list and then was sort of like, had to make a sort of business decision from it. And like the one person was like, not even going to come to our house to like, it's like, oh, I'll just email you something. And it's like, okay, well, if someone wants to see the house, are you going to be here? Or like,
yeah,
I don't want to be here. Like, well, maybe if I could fit it in, like, this is a big, you know, it's an emotional decision too. And like 100%. We hadn't planned to sell our house. Like something came up and we moved into a family owned place. So it was all a bit harder because you were like so attached to like everything you put into it. Mm-hmm. So to have someone who's like, yeah, I'm not even going to like come to your house. And I was like, well, that's that person sort of off the list. But then to have a team of like, oh, if you are busy or somewhere else now, it's like, at least we know there's a few people who care mm-hmm. and are going to like be working to like figure things out if something's kind of going down.
Yeah. It's very rare that, you know, we're both tied up doing something. Mm. So like one of us is always available and we work like 7 days a week. So
yeah,
it's good though to have, you know, two people on your side just in case.
Yeah. I've never bought or sold a property with you, but I've worked mm-hmm. with you doing marketing stuff mm-hmm. and I worked with your mom, Patricia. Trish, we call her Trish.
Call Patricia.
Yeah, Patricia. Patricia is awesome. I remember talking to you. I was really excited to work with you because you were just out of like marketing school, so you knew that, and me and you were like really in sync. I thought that was really cool because I don't love working with realtors. They have a very set way. This has been like 10 plus years of, well, almost 10 years of being in marketing, and like, this is how they do it. I try to talk to them about other stuff, digital stuff. They don't listen. So I was like hesitant to even talk to you. And I was like, oh no, like this woman gets it. Like we're very aligned. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, now I need you to talk to Patricia. And I was like, oh, I was so upset. I know how this is going to go. All the work I put into talking to Chelsea and building this rapport is going to be just completely flushed down the toilet. Because how old is she? Like, 40s, late 40s?
Yeah, she's in her late 40s.
Well, she's in her late 40s. So I'm like, this woman's probably been doing like a bunch of years, very set in her ways. Not her in particular, but like as a realtor, as a professional, maybe.
Sure.
And I was like, this is not going to work. And I was like really upset. And then I remember talking to her and like the whole time she just was like the best listener I've ever dealt with from a real estate perspective. Mm-hmm. Where she asked me a question. And I would answer it, and she would nod, and like, yep. And she respected me and respected what I had to say as a professional, which is so rare from realtors.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how that applies to working with you, like from a buying, selling perspective, but I just loved that she was actually open and listened and had that type of respect for someone that doesn't normally get that much respect in an industry. So I like right away, I was like, I connected with her and I thought that was like fantastic. So
yeah, I know she's always been very open to new ideas and she always kind of wants to do the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
Like, I always have found she's kind of been ahead of her time in a sense.
Sure.
But yeah, I know she loved talking to you too. So she was open to anything. And
you told me afterwards because I reminded her of your brother though.
Yes, you do, kind of.
It wasn't because I'm a genius. It was because I look like your brother.
Whatever works, yes, honestly.
That's a behavioral science thing.
Yeah.
We like people who remind us of certain people.
I didn't know that. Then I like had you on Facebook and I saw pictures of your brother. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, he has a beard too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love this conversation and the attitude of that, I think, shows why you guys are a great choice for mm-hmm. people to work with. Mm-hmm. I'll tell one last quick realtor story. When I was at the bank, and I have to be very careful how much I say, but mm-hmm. it was somebody I was doing a personal deal with. So you have to collect personal net worth statements. And this was someone who was, you know, very well known, you know, top of the game and had literally nothing. And, in terms of assets, and you're like, well, we gotta, like, it was really awkward. And then it's like, oh, do you have own a car? And it was like, oh, I have a car. It's a lease. I don't even know what it is. It just gets me point A to point B. And they like threw their keychain at me to like, you know, get the model because they had a keychain with the symbol of it. And it was like a luxury car. So it was like, oh, you know, this is great. And then it was just there's lots of pieces in the deal and it was like very, very awkward, lots of privacy things happening. But that attitude just captured what maybe 40% of agents sort of have.
Yeah.
And it was somebody who like I just would never recommend. Like they don't have that attitude. It's really about them and the car they drive. And like, I don't think they didn't understand like due diligence or process or like anything like that. And then contrast that with, I think you're one of the, I call them sort of the long-term grinders who get that. And there's a handful of those in the community. You probably know and respect those people who are like, they ride the ups and downs and they're like doing this background work all the time. You ask about a house, they like know all the stuff about it or neighborhoods and all these like nuances. And that's that skill set combined with like people you want to drive around with and make the biggest decision of your life is who you want to work with.
No, for sure. And it always surprises me when people kind of have that, I guess, cocky attitude because they had a, like, and I don't know, like the agent you're talking about, but whether they were in it for 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, it's like, I guess to a certain extent, like your next year you can guarantee some income, you know, you have some people kind of in the back of your head at all times, like repeat and referral business, but anything can happen. Like we had just experienced with the pandemic, like we couldn't have predicted that.
Yeah.
So who's to say you can't have a really terrible year the next year or the following year? Or so it's like having this attitude of I'm better because I make X amount of dollars. Like it just doesn't make sense to me, especially in real estate.
Oh yeah.
Because it can be a bit unpredictable.
Unpredictable. I mean, there's always people who need to buy and sell for certain reasons, but then there's all sorts of factors that lead to that happening in waves or like, it's not really predictable, right?
Yeah.
It's,
and I'm finding more and more now, like the younger generation, younger as in like, you know, even 40 and under, they're not necessarily like using their mom and dad's realtor anymore. Like they're doing their own research. They want, you know, they're on social media or they're talking kind of to their friends.
Yeah.
Because they don't necessarily want to just use who their mom and dad used.
Yeah.
And now with the resources that people have to research and, you know, scroll through your Instagram to see what kind of, you know, knowledge you're providing is important. So,
I think sales has changed so much in the last 10 years, maybe longer, because like you said, people have made up their mind before they speak to you often.
Yeah.
Like, they've gone to your website, they've read all about you, they've gone to your social, they've read about you there. They're probably calling you just to make sure they like you.
Yeah.
Like, actually, does this match up with the actual person?
Yeah. Am I getting catfished?
Exactly. And I think, like, that's a big change in sales the last 20 years, and that's why people are not just dealing with their mom and dad's realtor, and they're going on and doing that due diligence. And not even due diligence, it's actual work to then decide, should I work with this person?
So that's why, but I, you know, that's why it surprises me sometimes when people have that attitude. I've dealt with realtors on the other side of, you know, transactions that I'm just like, oh my God, how do you have clients? Like, how do people work with you? Because I, even having a 5-minute conversation, it's just not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, we do have some amazing realtors in this area, too, that I highly respect.
But who would you not work with?
I love that. What's so funny is anyone listening is going to, like, fill in the blank. And I'm just curious to know what those blanks are.
Well, it's so subjective, too.
Oh, it is.
It is.
It really is subjective. And I think, like, I know I have a friend who, they have a totally different style than I do, and their realtor they think is the greatest person in the world, and I would never ever work with them because they like want to negotiate. They like love putting in crazy weird conditions just because that's their style, and they like get so excited about it, and like I'm not that at all. I'm like, I'm going to do my research. There's going to be a fair deal that happens. Like, I'm not putting in something weird that could like, I'm not losing the deal over something I don't care about or isn't like a deal breaker. So just completely different style, but they love that because to them, like they need that like extra win or something to feel good about their deal. And that's just how some people are.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. For sure.
Awesome. Any last words, Chelsea? How do people find you if they want to work with you?
They can find me on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. Our handle is @teamboydcells. Our website is www.teamboyd.ca. And our, you can just call our office, 705-878-3737.
Awesome. I think that's the first phone number ever on the podcast. And I love it. So.
Yeah.
Well, we ask that.
I like phone calls too, so it's good. Yeah.
We ask that to people, and they don't even know what to say. So it's impressive that you're like, "This is how you find us." Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Yeah, I don't. Sometimes I have to jump in.
Oh yeah. I'll like pull up their website. Like, you go to www. You know the script, so
I do. I know a few things.
Which is awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, Chelsea. This was fun. If you're listening and would like to be on the podcast, you can send us an email to set that up at setitup@coorthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.